If you would please now join me in your holy scriptures, and I'm not quite sure why I'm so anxious to get to this sermon, because quite frankly, I've been working on it for 2 weeks, and I'm still not very happy with it. So we'll give it to the good Lord and see what he does with it. And so y'all pray that his word might come through a very small servant. 1 John chapter 1, reading verses 5 through 7. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We'll end our reading there, and I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his most holy, inspired word. Now, this morning, because of its significance, I'm going to concentrate on verse 5 alone, and then we will take the rest of the passage as I've read it next week. So let me give you once again verse 5, because it is simple in its reading, but it is foundational and extreme in its meaning. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that, and here's the message, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light, artificial light that we produce here, light as God has given us by the sun and the moon outside. Why is light so important to us? Let me read you just a short excerpt from one of the scientific articles I was reading through, as a little background here, just a short thing. Light is the triggering force behind many chemical and biological changes in life forms on Earth. Light kickstarts food chains, both on land and in the sea. It acts as a catalyst during photosynthesis in plants, and it provides sustenance for the survival of plankton in the seas. Light is the most important tool for guidance. We humans need light to see to go about our daily activities. Today, technology advancements allow people to exploit other beneficial uses of light, such as solar power. Light is a means of communication. Beacons, lasers, reflective devices, flashlights all provide useful conveyances of messages. Light is a part of daily life, and it's impossible to live without it. Quite frankly, I think it is difficult to estimate just how important light is in our everyday lives. If you're like me, you go to the light switch, you turn it on, you have an expectation, you take it for granted. But sometimes that light switch doesn't bring on light. But sometimes we take it for granted. The sun comes up every morning. They have it timed. The exact minute when it's going to rise, the exact minute when it's going to set. We depend on that. We grow somewhat non-complacent to that. But please know there will be one day when that sun does not. It will be the other sun. But here in our passage today, John adds to the importance of light by acknowledging the extreme, eternal importance of life. And he does that with just three words. God is light. So what does John mean What does the Holy Spirit mean? Who is the actual author here? John just simply provides the pen. But what does the Holy Spirit mean by that phrase, God is light? Well, before we dig in there, let me review for you, because it's been 2 weeks now since we've been here, and get our minds working back into the text of John. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you that we're going to hear or read often two words. And those two words are know and confidence. Know. I know, we know, you know. John possessed a knowledge, which leads to our second word. John possesses a knowledge that he wishes to communicate, which, as I said, leads to our second word, which is confidence. Based on what John knew, he could speak with great confidence. He could speak boldly about what was certain, about the certainty of what he knew. Well, what was the certainty that he knew? And it was that word, the incarnate word, which he says up in verse 1, we've heard it, we've seen him, we've touched him, we've looked upon him. And so he is certain that he has the knowledge that is correct, that Jesus Christ is the incarnate God. And so here in verse 5, as John builds on this, he desires to tell us with all confidence and certainty what he has come to know about the nature of God. And that is key here, about the nature of God. Other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are more prone to tell us what God did, what Jesus did. They tell us what has happened. However, when you come to John's writings, in his gospel, but also here in his letters, John is concerned with who God is, who Jesus is. He's concerned that we know something about the nature of God. Not just what he did, as amazing as that is, but the who, something of the nature of God in Jesus Christ. It is said that, as I've alluded to here, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell you about the life of Jesus. John, however, writes about the heart of Jesus. I've said this many times, if a new Christian comes to you and says, I want to begin my Bible reading, where do I begin? Don't send him to Genesis, her to Genesis, because they'll make it to Leviticus and they're out of there. The book of John. It tells them who Jesus Christ is. And so we start there. Now, throughout John's writings, he does this time and time again. He tells us who. God is love. God is a spirit, etc. He makes the same approach with Jesus. Remember the I ams in the book of John? Remember the I ams in the Gospel of John? I am the way. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. All of these, and there are seven in total, but these I am statements are describing who Jesus is. Who? And so here in our passage, John focuses on the who, and he takes one simple characteristic, and he begins teaching on that. And that is, as I've read to you, that God is light. God is light. Not that God is a light among lights, no, but that God is life. It is simple and profound, just as we say and read in John's writing, that God is love. Not that he loves, although he does, it is that he is love. He is the light. So again, we ask the question, what does he mean by saying that God is the light? Well, give me a moment to build up to that answer. God has appeared to his people many times down through history in many different forms of light. In the Old Testament, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the light. He led the Israelites in the wilderness as that burning column of light by night. They saw the light, they perceived it to be God. He appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai as light so bright it reflected on Moses' face that when he came down from the mountain and the people saw him, they were scared and said, Moses, please cover your face. Because they could see God reflected in light. Then we move to the New Testament. Speaking of light, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. That great event where he allowed Peter, James, and John, our writer, John, to see who he really was as he revealed himself along with Moses and Elijah, but in the essence of light. And that's where poor Peter wanted to build three houses for each of them. Poor Peter. And we understand it, we've heard it many times. Jesus is called the light of the world. So this idea of light has great prominence, has great position and place in Holy Text. Jesus is called the light of the world, and God intends for us to see that light through His Son, Jesus Christ. However, sadly, it will not be that way for everyone. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, in their case, those non-believers, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. God is indeed light, but as I've said, sadly, not everyone will come to see or understand or comprehend this idea, this facet, this characteristic of who God is as being light. God is light. Jesus Christ is light. In John 8:12, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the light of the world, as I've made reference. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Now, this idea of walking in darkness, we'll take that up next week, so I hope all of you make it back. Jesus is the light of the world that so many need. And we who come to Jesus, we share in that light. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks of light. But he speaks of light not being himself, but of you. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do the people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. We are to be ones who lets our light shine, reflecting the love of God to a lost and dark world. Folks, that's evangelism. Peter says, be ready to give an answer for those who ask about your faith. Well, if you've shown that light of the gospel in your community, in your surroundings, prayerfully, the Holy Spirit will lead somebody to come and say, what's the deal with you? Or it may be such that your light's pretty dim and nobody ever asks. Now, the two passages I've just read to you, the John 8 and the passage from the Sermon on the Mount, describe a relationship between us and Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light. We are the reflectors of that light as we are in Him. This is the relationship we have. But this still doesn't define what the light is. And I know you're all sitting on the edge of your seat as I've built up this the last 20 minutes. So here we go. What is the light? I read to you the first portion of John 8:12. Now let me read to you the full verse. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. That's the previous portion I read. Now here's the rest of it. Because, or but, we'll have the light of life. What is the light? It is life. But we'll have the light of life. We'll not walk in darkness. Psalm 36. For with you is the fountain of life, speaking of God. In your light, God, we see light. We could do a little word exchange there. It says, for you, God, is the fountain of life, for in your life we have life. God is light, which is the same thing as saying God is life. Now think about that for just a moment. God demonstrates that he is life by manifesting himself in light. And he has given that light, he has given that life to us in many, many different ways. First of all, he gives us that life in creation. When he brought Adam and Eve together, he breathed into Adam, into Eve, and brought them to life. He shone that light. He shined that light into their lives. He gives life, light, spiritually, through the new creation, the new birth in our salvation. He gives everlasting life for those whom he has called to be his own. Everything, just as I went back to the scientific reading from that non-Christian science article, basically said everything depends on light and it is so important to us, we Christians can go even further and deeper than that in saying that everything, even our spiritual lives, depend on the light of the gospel. Yes, it's necessary and important for us to live in this creation, but it is more necessary for us to live in the next one. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything that has life takes it from its source, which is God, the God of life. Paul states in Colossians 1, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The Lord Jesus, who created all things following the decrees of his Father, is the source of all life. The life of God is given to all that live. In opposition to that, in opposition to what much of the world teaches, we did not find our lives here, established over millions of years, ascending some from some primordial soup millions of years ago. No, we have life that comes from the light. And not only life in this world, but if one believes in the salvation in Jesus Christ, then also provides the light of eternal life. Psalm 119 states, the unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. To look back again just for a moment, we began our time together in 1 John here by speaking of the word of life, about the truth of the gospel, about the necessity of truth, not being sold on the subjective truth that our world teaches. We teach the word of life, and we find that in the person of Jesus Christ. Then 2 weeks ago, we spoke of proclaiming that word, preaching, teaching, speaking with the knowledge of the truth that John has relayed to us, and being confident in what we preach, and then we preach it boldly. Why? Why do we preach the word? Why do we proclaim the word? Because this week's passage will answer that question. We preach that God is light. So therefore, I'm preaching in this word that God is life, and through his word we find that life. We preach and teach the Word of God because it is a light to our path. And that light brings life. Why do we preach? Why do we teach? Why are we so concerned about truth? Again, one of the reasons I came to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, going on into the book of Jude, is that very reason, that very thinking. Our world today is bent. Many in our world today are bent on this idea of there not being any form of absolute or objective truth. Well, if you're holding a Bible in your hand, then you should argue against that notion. This is what we need to hear. Our children need to hear. Our grandchildren need to hear. They're being bombarded daily by the other message. They need to hear the truth. And we find life nowhere except in the light of the gospel. And that is that God is light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So I pray that we are not tainted by the darkness of this world, but that we live in the light of that gospel message, and that we preach it and teach it to those we have access to always. Amen. And amen.